makers of Camel Cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Cigarette do you smoke, Doctor?
Again, this question has been asked of doctors in every branch of medicine. And again, the brand name most was Camel.
Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Here, transcribed, is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Being a private detective is like ordering stew in a cheap restaurant. You never know what you're getting until it's too late. It was that way the other morning. I was sitting in my office, practicing curtain speeches to my creditors when she came in. She was wearing a casual item that must have caused a sharp dip at the mink population. When she reached my desk, she stopped and her perfume kept moving. She probably noticed the glassy look reaching my eyes because she said,
"Does my perfume bother you, Mr. Diamond?"
"Well, no, not at all. My fangs always show like this."
"Le Joie. It carries a special guarantee."
"Well, I won't ask for what. Won't you sit down, Miss..."
"Not Miss, just Yvonne. It's not my real name, but I find it has a better effect on the trade."
"The trade?"
"Cosmetics. Perfumes, facial creams, mud packs. I manufacture them. Mostly for women, but I have a lot of male customers."
"I bet you do. Unfortunately, I've just bought a magnum of shaving lotion myself."
"Oh, don't be silly, Mr. Diamond. I didn't come here to sell you anything. I'm sure you wouldn't have any need for my products."
We'll save that debate for later."
"Well, I'll be brief. I'm a woman who likes to come to the point."
"I can see that.
How would a $200 fee sound to you?"
"Like a mirage, but beautiful."
"And here you are. 100 now, the rest when you finish the job."
"Well, far be it for me to hesitate over money. Especially that nice, luxurious shade of green. But don't you think..."
"Oh,
that...
of course. You want to know what you have to do."
"It would help."
"It's very simple. This afternoon, the Ile de France docks in New York. On the ship will be a man named Buchan."
"One of your customers? Or is this social?"
"Monsieur Buchan has developed a wonderful new face cream. He wants for me to have the exclusive American rights."
"Well, that's fine. Where do I come in?"
"Your job starts at 7 tonight. All you do is pick up the sample from Monsieur Buchan at his hotel and bring it to me."
"Oh, I see. Do you mind if I look at your legs?"
"Well, no. But I thought we were talking business."
"We are. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got nice legs, Yvonne."
"They take me where I want to go."
"Well, what keeps them from taking you to Bichon's hotel?"
"You may pick up the sample myself. I was sure you'd ask that."
"Well, I could."
"You don't know the cosmetic industry, Mr. Diamond. My competitors would do anything to get hold of that face cream."
"They know you expect Bichon?"
"Oh, they're nothing. A ruthless man."
"Does he have a name or just a disposition?"
"Robert Knopfler. He owns the Venus Beauty Enterprises."
"And you think he might follow you, take the sample away before you can start the manufacture? So you're paying $200 to protect it?"
"Oh, Mr. Diamond, I'm going to like you. You'll see understanding."
$100 bills make me that way."
"I'll expect you tonight around 7:30.
"My job's over when I deliver the sample to you, is that it?"
"Yes. But, don't make any plans for the rest of the evening. There's a new perfume I want to try out."
She gave me her address, the name of Buchan's hotel. Then she walked to the door with a motion cats spend years trying to learn. I sat there a while, letting my head clear and my temperature sink to a mere galloping fever. I had a bite of lunch, strolled around most of the afternoon doing things people do to kill time in New York. It was about 4 when I climbed the stairs and walked down the hall to my apartment. Au clair de la lune, mon ami Poirot,
Quercle Malapluma. Quercle. Oh, she was too old for that anyway. Hey, what is this?
Hello, Diamond.
Oh, didn't you knock? Or did you think this was an L station?
I knocked. Nobody answered. I came in.
Now you can go out.
How much did she pay you?
Who?
Yvonne. How much did she pay you to get that face cream sample?
I'll bet a mud pack to a plumber if your name's Muckler.
Yeah. Venus Beauty Enterprises. I'll bet her what she paid you.
You want the face cream pretty bad, huh?
Bring it to me, huh, Diamond?
Are you that interested in cosmetics?
It's a business. Do I get that sample?
No.
Be nice, Diamond. So I can be nice.
And it'll be a strain for both of us.
Triple. I'll give you three times what she paid.
Mm-mm.
And a bonus on the side.
Why don't you get it yourself?
Think I'd be here if I knew where Bouchon was?
That door, Mr. Mosser, leads to the hall. Use it.
I ask you to be nice. Once. The second time, I don't ask.
You heard me.
Ow.
Ow. You take your hands off me. Just being nice. You dirty.
Get up. And then get out.
All right, Diamond. I'm leaving.
You take a hemp knife.
I won't forget this.
I wouldn't want you to.
You just lost yourself a chunk of cash, Diamond.
I'm not a very good businessman. It's a habit with me.
Well, it's too bad. Might have helped pay the bill.
What bill?
The undertaker. Funerals run high these days.
He stomped to the door, his face twisted with some private rage that had just become public and left. When face cream got to be that important, it was time for Richard Diamond to start investigating the cosmetic business. I took a shower, dressed neatly in my most continental fashion, and taxied off to visit Monsieur Bouchon. He was staying at a small hotel in the East 70s, one of those places where the doorman is dressed like an admiral in the Swiss Navy. I ignored the doorman and waited through miles of plush carpet until I found Bouchon's suite. I pushed the buzzer, and when the door opened, I was standing in front of the biggest female inside of a ringing double tent.
You want something, gentlemen?
Monsieur Bouchon, is he in?
Who are you then, gentlemen?
Richard Diamond.
Come in.
What's the matter? Is my tie line crooked?
Yes.
Well, the way you're looking at me, maybe my nose is shiny.
It's better than you've been, really, Richard Diamond. Because, gentlemen, if you know then Richard Diamond, they then break your bones, one bone by one bone. You see, gentlemen?
I'm afraid I do. But now I feel just...
Monsieur Diamond.
Monsieur Bouchon, I hope.
Ah, name of punctuality, Monsieur Diamond. Exactly on time. I kiss you on one cheek. I kiss you on cheek number two.
And stop it right there.
Let me regard you. It is as you won't say you will be. So young, so handsome, so virile.
You're like a midget next to your watchdog here.
Watchdog? Je ne comprends pas. Bertha. She is my mistress. She makes new muscles of the old.
And vice versa on occasion, I suppose.
Oh, God, her, Monsieur Diamond. Name of a Swedish mug of bird. Is she not magnifique?
Yeah, spellbinding. Now, about that sample I'm supposed to pick up.
But of course, Bertha.
Please.
In the boudoir, Bertha. There is a jar on the bed. Next to my chateau dressing gown. Bring it.
Your gentleman.
I wish to tell you, Mr. Diamond, how pleasant it is to be back in your New York once more. What a truly magnificent city she is to visit.
But you would not live here.
Name of a fortune teller, but you are psychic. How did you know I would say that?
I've been hanging around the tourist bureau.
I do not understand, but I think you are being droll. You would have a tiny brandy with me. Some Logis du Mai, n'est-ce pas?
Well, thanks, but I've got a date with a room full of perfume.
The Yvonne. Naturally, the incomparable Yvonne. Well, I suppose I cannot persuade you to stay. Thank you, Governor.
Please.
Here, Monsieur Diamond, is the latest Bouchon creation.
That's all? Just this jar?
I have worked so hard on this sample. Oui. How I have labored. You will take good care of it, yes?
Well, for $200, I'd tuck it in bed and sing it a lullaby.
But no. You must not do that. You must make haste and place the sample in the hands of the lovely Yvonne.
Any message to go with it?
The sample. She will be missing the note.
Okay, I'll be seeing you.
Of a certainty you will, Mr. Diamond. Of a certainty.
I looked back on my way out of the suite. Monsieur Bouchon had an atomizer in each hand, spraying the room with cologne. The expression on his face reminded me of the python who had just swallowed his week's supply of rabbit on the hoof. I snowshoed my way down the street and started to look for a taxi. I didn't have to look far.
Hey, Mac!
Huh?
Over here, Mac!
You looking for a hook?
That's right.
Out there.
Get your feet.
Sit down and be nice, Mr. Diamond, or I'll blow your head off.
Well, you leave me a limited choice, Mr. Muckley.
That's better.
Fine work, Willie. Here, pulling me from Mr. Muckler.
I'll answer that, Willie. It was neat. Now, I'd like to...
Diamond. I thought you were going to be nice. I'll take that gun.
And you might give me a gold star for trying.
We're fixing your gold star right now.
My place, Willie. It didn't do any good to tell myself I should have known better. I'd been caught by a trick 10 times older than I was. I took a quick look at Marcus' profile just to make sure it was still there. It was. I didn't have to look at his gun. It had found a home between my 4th and 5th rib. We finally pulled up in front of an apartment just off Park Avenue. Marcus herded me across the foyer that might have been cheerful in McKinley's day. He pushed me toward the elevator.
All right, get in.
Would you mind shifting that gun a bit? My floating ribs run aground.
I'll be nice, Diamond. Suits you better than being funny.
I was just trying to be pleasant. But if you insist,
don't
I...
talk so loud. My neighbors are refined. All right. Get out.
Aren't you making a lot of fuss over nothing? After all, it's only a jar of face cream.
You'd be surprised.
No kidding. Any drugstore.
Shut up.
Place.
It's a place. All right, give me the sample.
But just for the record, suppose I say no.
You say no, you won't have a record. The sample, Diamond.
Get it. My coat pocket.
That's right.
Oh, I thought you tried that.
Get that gun.
Okay, right between your pretty blue eyes. Boom!
His gun caught me a glancing blow on the forehead and I went down. I couldn't have been out for more than a few seconds because when I came to, Mockler was still in the room. I tried to get up, but my body had a will of its own. At the moment, what it wanted most was to rest comfortably on the rug. Mockler didn't notice me. He was too busy trying to get the top off the jar. When he finally did... Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here's an important question. What's the best way to find out about smoking enjoyment? Well, you won't find out much from one puff or one sniff. It takes day in, day out smoking. Make the sensible, thorough cigarette test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days. You'll discover how rich and flavorful Camels are pack after pack. You'll find how mild Camels are, how well they agree with your throat week after week. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. No other cigarette gives you this conclusive proof of mildness, and no other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor, the flavor of costly tobaccos, properly aged and expertly blended. So make your own Camel 30-day test, the sensible test. You'll enjoy every puff, and you'll see why so many people say, once a Camel smoker, always a Camel smoker.
How mild,
and now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, come on, boy. Wake up.
Oh,
Oh. Wow, did they say nice things about me, Rob?
Who?
The preacher. One who read my funeral service.
Oh. This is a hospital, and you're not dead.
Oh. You mean I've got to go out through that again?
Why you're not dead is something I'll never know. What happened?
You tell me, Walt.
Well, we got a call an hour ago to come to the apartment of a guy named Mockler. There'd been an explosion. You were stretched out on what was left of the floor.
Oh, that potent face cream.
Face cream? You sure you're awake, Rick?
I'm awake now. What about Mockler?
Well, he was around the apartment. I might say all around.
Mm-hmm. So it was a booby trap.
Booby trap? What's this all about?
Walt, are those my pants in the chair?
Well, what's left of them?
Throw them all over again.
Now, wait a minute, Rick. Aren't you going to tell me what's going on?
Sure. A Frenchman named Bouchon was trying to blow up a girl named Yvonne with a jar of face cream.
That face cream again. Maybe you better stay here a while, huh?
Look, Walt, nothing makes sense yet.
That's the first sensible thing you've said since you woke up.
Give me time to ask a few people some questions.
How would it be if I asked them?
You wouldn't get the same answers.
All right, Rick. We'll give it a try.
I'll call you as soon as I've made a visit.
Don't wait too long. There's a murder rap crying for a head to fall on.
I checked out of the hospital and walked a few blocks to shake the india rubber out of my legs. I knew it wouldn't do any good, but I ducked into a phone booth and called Bouchon's hotel. And, as I expected, he'd pulled out a couple of hours before. Manager had no idea where he'd gone. There was only one place left for me to go, and it was a little after 10 when Yvonne opened her door for me. I could tell by the quiet music on the radio that she didn't know what had happened. The way she greeted me bolstered up my deduction.
Well, hello. Do come in, Mr. Diamond.
Thanks. Aren't you afraid of catching cold in that thing?
You mean this negligee? I wore it especially for you. I've been waiting a long time. Too long.
No, you just missed waiting a lot longer.
That Monsieur Bouchon, so talkative.
He has a few other qualities.
Come sit down. Here on the chaise lounge. Next to me.
Well, I hate to make a detour, but let's get the sad news over with first.
Oh? Something's gone wrong?
Oh, you almost got it. Nothing's gone right.
I should have known. Your clothes are...
You ought to see what your face cream did to Mockler's clothes.
Mockler? Did you get that sample?
You had it for a few minutes, if that's what you mean.
Mr. Diamond, if I didn't like you, I'd be very angry.
No, you shouldn't be. When Mockler opened that sample, he got very dead. It was a bomb.
I don't understand. Did the face cream Monsieur Bouchon gave you was a bomb?
Well, not quite, no. The bomb Monsieur gave me was a bomb.
Just a minute, Mr. Diamond. Let me turn off this radio. You don't know how this upsets me.
I know. I was upset myself this evening, violently.
Oh, you poor boy.
Well, no. That helps.
Hand me that bag placed there on the coffee table.
Well, if you want a handkerchief.
Well, I have what I'm looking for. Here, Mr. Diamond. $100. The other half of your fee.
No? Does an explanation come to that?
I'm sure you'll excuse me until another time. Won't you?
Well, when you say it like that...
I'm sorry. I was still looking forward to good night, Mr. Diamond.
There are a few reasons why I'd like to have hung around, but I could tell that it just wasn't my night. So I left Yvonne, called Walt, and told him he could forward the bill for Mockler's murder to Monsieur Bouchon if he could find him. Then I crawled into a little bistro on 53rd Street to relax and count my $100 bill. I was on my second cup of coffee and third Camel cigarette when it came to me. Like the paraphrase of an old song, Bouchon knew that I knew. If he'd been foolish enough to let me be messenger for his booby trap, it was a cinch he wouldn't be foolish for very long. As long as I was walking around in one piece, Bouchon could never feel safe. I could have dodged him, maybe, for a long time, but I decided it would be better to see him when he wanted to see me. I went home and made myself available. At 11:35, the walls of my room started to shudder and somebody pounded on the door. I didn't have any doubts about who it was.
Oh, be careful, will you? It's just mahogany.
It's only me, Antelman. Bertha.
I couldn't possibly have guessed.
Leah.
Oh, never mind. What do you want?
Monsieur Bouchon, ahead and send me.
It'll be a tight squeeze, but won't you come in?
You come out, gentlemen.
Okay, just as soon as I get my coat.
You know, Ben, move your coat, gentlemen.
Well, it's right over here.
You come now, gentlemen. They will assist your arm. Please.
Oh, nothing, nothing. I always thought my arm bent the other way.
It's better this way. It's healthy for bones. You come now, gentlemen.
Please. She put a little more pressure on my arm and led me down the stairs. She was so clumsy, I could have taken it with a few artful motions, but Bouchon had sent her, and I wanted to see Bouchon. When we reached the street, Bertha grabbed my other arm. We made an interesting entrance into a taxi, which took us to a shabby apartment house on Baker Street in Greenwich Village. Bertha adjusted a half Nelson, and we climbed three flights of stairs. The end of our little pilgrimage was a pair of termite-ridden rooms, which I never would have associated with a fastidious Frenchman. Bouchon was not there, and Bertha didn't seem to know what to do with me. Then her eyes lighted up. She angled me across the room, pulled open a door, looked at me brightly, and said,
"Is that room, gentlemen?"
"Well, thanks. I brushed my teeth this evening."
"Go in."
"Where's Bouchon?"
"It's not good. You've been asked questions. Go in."
"Well, you wait out here."
"It's more comfortable inside. If you know Ben, go inside. They've been glad to assist you."
I was ready to argue the point when I looked in the bathroom and saw a table full of bottles and jars. So I let Bertha shove me inside and locked the door behind me. Then I walked over to the table. Next to a bottle labeled Valley of Indecision Cologne stood a jar, exactly like the booby trap Bouchon had given me earlier in the evening. I picked it up, decided that forever was a long time to live, and opened it. This time, it really was face cream. I poked my fingers around the jar to see what made it so wonderful. When I pulled them out, things suddenly became a lot clearer. Because just under the top layer of face cream was buried the biggest blue sapphire I had ever seen. I wiped it off and slipped it into my pocket just about the time the outer door opened.
"Here, sir."
It was Bouchon, and he didn't waste time starting in on Bertha.
"Where is this diamond? You have brought him."
"Eh, then bring him."
"Bertha, I do not see him."
"Eh, then bring him."
"Hello, where is he? Where is he?"
"Eh, lock him in the bathroom."
"In the bathroom? Oh, mon Dieu, unlock the door."
"Eh, get the key."
I had to do something. I had to do it fast. I looked around. Then in the bathtub, I saw what I wanted. One of those rubber hoses with a shower attachment that can be pointed in any direction. I turned on the hot water full blast and waited.
"Monsieur Diamond."
"Monsieur Bouchon?"
"Mon Dieu, the steam, I cannot see."
"Here I am."
"Ah! Ah! I am scalded. You have burnt me."
"Give me a gun."
"Oh, mon Dieu."
"Ah, that's all right. Now stand back."
"Gentlemen."
"All right, Bertha, turn off that water."
"Oh, I am scalded."
"Now you live. Oh, that was some face cream."
"Mon Dieu, the sapphire, you have taken it."
"You won't need it, Bouchon. They'll just take it away from you before they put you in the chair." I persuaded Bouchon with the help of his gun, without his holding, to tie up Bertha. Then I knotted some bright red French neckties around his hands and feet and surveyed the situation. There was no phone in the apartment, so I locked the two of them in and raced down to a drugstore in the corner. I caught the owner just as he was closing and put in a call to Walt. Then I doubled back to the apartment to keep Bouchon and Bertha company. I thought it was funny that the door was open when I had locked it so carefully. I stopped thinking it was funny when I walked through the door straight into the barrel of an ugly automatic.
"Hello, Mr. Diamond."
"Well, Yvonne."
"You're just in time. We're going to start a treasure hunt."
"Yes, he is the one."
"Monsieur Bouchon seems to think you picked up a sapphire around the stage, Mr. Diamond. Probably in the excitement of the evening.
It is true. All what I say, it is true.
You hear what Monsieur Bouchon says? But Monsieur Bouchon tried to kill me tonight. Maybe he also lied.
No. He took it. Name of a
thing. Oh, do be quiet, Monsieur Bouchon. You disturb us. Well, Mr. Diamond?
Oh, come on, Yvonne. You're taking this thing much too seriously.
Mr. Diamond, I've said repeatedly that I like you. But that won't stop me from shooting you, if I have to.
Now, you are intense, aren't you?
I've risked a lot to get that stone. Let's not make it more difficult.
Well, you haven't asked Berta what she knows.
Berta?
Sure. Go ahead, ask her.
All right. What do you know about the sapphire, Berta?
Please!
Mr. Diamond, I believe you're pulling my leg.
Oh, tears. I've got a good answer, but I'm afraid this isn't the time.
Do you have the sapphire?
For want of a better word, yes.
Give it to me.
Oh, Grandma, what a greedy voice you've developed.
You're wasting time.
Only in a manner of speaking.
Come on, Diamond, I'm not done.
Hold it where you are. Drop the gun, miss. Go ahead, drop it.
Well, you certainly took your time, Fatty.
I got here as fast as I could.
I was just running out of words. Wasn't I, Yvonne?
Mm-hmm. You know something, Mr. Diamond.
Tell me, dear.
I'm sure I hate myself in the morning. But it's funny. I still like you.
Well, when we got onto it, the whole thing was really pretty simple. Yvonne and Bouchon were running a fancy smuggling racket under a cosmetic color. Bouchon wanted to make it a one-man operation. So he tried to dissolve the partnership the hard way by killing Yvonne. It didn't work because Mockler found out about the sapphire, got in the way, and stopped the bomb intended for Yvonne. Monsieur Bouchon summed the whole thing up rather neatly on the way to the station house. He said,
Mon dieu, I should have stood in France.
Big Powell will return in just a minute. More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Yes, more people smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Among the millions of Camel smokers are many stars whose throats are their fortunes. Stars like Lizzie Stevens, Patrice Munsell, Mario Lanza. Great singers who insist on mildness in their cigarette and find it in Camels. Friends, make the sensible cigarette test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days and see how mild, how flavorful, how thoroughly enjoyable a cigarette can be.
How mild, how mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be?
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever spent any length of time in a hospital bed, you know how a gift can cheer you up. Every week, the Camel people send gift cigarettes to our hospitalized veterans and servicemen, both in this country and overseas. This week's free Camels go to veterans' hospitals down in Illinois and Indianapolis, Indiana, Army and Navy General Hospital, Hot Springs, Arkansas, U.S. Naval Hospital Ship, Constellation. Now, until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do. Miss Powell can now be seen starring in RKO's Cry Danger. Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Charles E. Israel with music by Frank Worth. Our director is Helen Mack. Featured in the cast were Arthur Q. Bryan, Joan Banks, James Backus, Theodore Van Elst, and Sheldon Leonard. Men, there's pleasure in every pipeful of Prince Albert, the national joy smoke. PA's choice tobacco has a rich flavor and a fine, natural fragrance. It's crimp-cut for smooth, even burning, and specially treated to ensure against sunbite. Yet, Prince Albert, America's largest-selling smoking tobacco. Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. This is your FBI. The official broadcast from the files of the FBI follows immediately. Stay tuned.